Trying to navigate the mind of Admiral Fisher on his journey from the first concepts of what would eventually become Dreadnought and Invincible, with the first sketches drafted in the late 1890s through to their final form in the mid-1900s, is something that one should either try to do stone cold sober, or alternatively, when you're three sheets to the wind, as exactly what he was proposing, what he was calling it, and what he thought it should be succeeded by could change on an almost monthly basis during this time period. However, since this month we've been looking at the more heavily gunned last-generation armoured cruisers of various navies, today we're going to take a brief look at the last of Fisher's designs that could conceivably be thought of as a Dreadnought-style armoured cruiser, as opposed to a Dreadnought-armed armoured cruiser, i.e. the ship that many, including the Germans, thought was, roughly speaking, what the British were actually going to build. Having previously dallied with ideas around various kinds of mixed armament, including combinations of 7.5, 9.2, 10 and 12 inch guns, by 1904 Fisher was rapidly coming around to the idea of uniform main batteries, in large part because of what he'd heard about the new rangefinders allowing engagements to be fought at thousands of yards, where working out the difference in splash heights from different caliber shells would be quite difficult. And also because a uniform main battery meant that he could get more guns on a hull, and Fisher loved more guns, specifically because of a new firing technique that he'd thought up. While these days we're quite used to the idea of salvo fire, at the time Fisher had determined that at 3, 5 or even 7,000 yard ranges, which is what he anticipated fighting at in the mid-1900s, the deviation in range from different guns wouldn't be that pronounced. And so, instead, if you could have enough guns of the same size all pointed at the enemy, you could fire off one gun, or a pair of guns if you were especially blessed with turrets, based on your initial range estimation. Then you could fire again from another gun or turret 10 to 15 seconds later, based on any further information you might have received, and then again 10 to 15 seconds after that, and so on and so forth. The idea being that by the time you finished firing your last gun or turret, the first one was pretty much ready to go again, and so you'd get a continuous rain of shells at 10 to 15 second intervals, providing constant data points for the gunnery officer to keep issuing corrective orders so you could walk the fire onto the enemy, and said fire would in theory be falling at such a rate that the enemy wouldn't have the time or room to escape or evade the incoming shells. In fact, in theory, they wouldn't really be able to do much of anything except hide under their armour as the constant hail of fire crept inevitably closer and closer towards their ship. And once the hit was scored, in theory, there would be many more to come. To this end, he proposed building two ships. A battleship he dubbed HMS Untakeable, and an armoured cruiser he titled HMS Unapproachable. Both ships would displace just under 16,000 tonnes, both ships would carry no less than 16 guns, and the main difference was that the battleship would be capable of around 21 knots and have more armour, while the cruiser would have less armour, and between this and using a lighter main gun, would be able to reach over 25 knots. The armoured cruiser, therefore, would carry 16 9.2-inch guns in 8 twin turrets in a rather unusual layout. There would be a pair of wing turrets amidships, that wasn't particularly unusual for the designs of this period, but at each end, there would be a cluster of three twin turrets, two at main deck level, side by side, with a third super-firing and mounted on the centerline just above and behind them. Although this gave a five-turret, ten-gun broadside, which was a little bit inefficient, it was hoped that in pursuit, closer to the bow, or if the ship was being chased off the stern, the relevant offside turret would come into play, resulting in six turrets with 12 guns being available. Top speed was to be 25.5 knots thanks to 40,000 indicated horsepower supplied to four screws by steam turbines, with 6 inches of belt armour, although this was supposed to be thickened to 8 inches at the barbettes. A number of anti-torpedo boat guns and some underwater torpedo tubes would also be provided, but this was clearly seen as a secondary concern. As it turned out, though, there was considerable discussion between Fisher and his acolytes that essentially boiled down to the fact that this ship was going to be at least as large and expensive as a battleship, possibly more, and once it fulfilled his initial idea of sweeping the sea of enemy ships, such an expensive vessel should be able to be used, at least they thought, to support the battle line, ideally as a fast force at the head of the line, which could race ahead and then cross the T of an already engaged enemy, quickly breaking up their formation and preventing their escape. This argument led to a change to the adoption of fewer, larger 12-inch guns, from which the Invincible class as we know it would come, and thus marking the end of the all 9.2-inch armoured cruiser design, mere months after this particular flavour of it had first been formulated. The general concept would have one last hurrah, though. Some elements of its ideas were allowed to leak out to the public during the development and construction of the actual Invincible class, which resulted in the Germans responding with SMS Blücher, a ship that would reasonably have been seen as a decent answer to the all 9.2-inch design, but which would find itself badly outgunned when the Invincibles finally emerged with their true 12-inch battery.
That's it for this video. Thanks for watching. If you have a comment or suggestion for a ship to review, let us know in the comments below. Don't forget to comment on the pinned post for dry dock questions.